We get the second hour underway by welcoming back to the program from Boston Sports Journal, our friend Sean McAdam. Hello there, Sean.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How's your Wednesday going so far?
No complaints. As you said, the weather, I think, definitely has everybody feeling a little better about things.
Feeling good about that. More vaccines out there for people. And so, yeah, we can see some light at the end of this tunnel, I hope.
Yeah, it's about time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would indeed. And, you know, baseball, an awfully big part of that, too. The Red Sox, they've been an up-and-down spring, I guess about what you expect from spring training, but they have struggled with some of the pitching so far. What's your overall impression of what you've seen from the Red Sox pitching staff in these first couple of weeks?
Yeah, certainly a guy like Garrett Richards has struggled both times. The first time, he had a rough first inning and then was able to self-correct a little bit and came out and had a 1-2-3 second, which at least gave him a feeling that he had found some things as he left. The second outing for him was not good at all. He was kind of rough throughout and had to roll over his second inning. So he's definitely got some mechanical things to work on. We haven't seen much of Eovaldi because it just fell in terms of the schedule that he was the last guy out of the gate. Perez has been okay. Tanner Houck today, much better than the last time when he really had difficulty pitching out of the stretch with any runners on base. I think he walked four or five last time. Very efficient today. Three innings, one hit, no runs, three strikeouts, no walks, and touching 98 with his fastball, regularly sitting at 96, 97. So definitely a turnaround for him. But, you know, Rich, as you noted, we're talking about two or three appearances max early in spring. And, you know, other than seeing a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez back on the mound and healthy, which is certainly critical after what he went through last year, I'm not sure you can take too much from what we've seen in those first, 10 games.
And you wrote about this, Sean, on Boston Sports Journal. This was a very different spring debut for Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, when you think back to what has happened to him since last, mid-July, or I guess early July, as they were getting together for summer camp, he tests positive COVID. That's scary enough. Apparently has a pretty tough case of it for a few days where he, you know, really has no energy, can't get out of bed. That's bad enough. But then comes the myocarditis, the inflammation around the heart muscle. And, you know, that's pretty scary and knocks him out, obviously, for the year. So just being back on the mound and treating it like a normal spring training was a huge relief for him because he hadn't pitched in almost a calendar year, and he had, you know, had some pretty scary events take place in his life in between.
We're talking with Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. Who's on the bubble right now for this team?
Well, a guy like Michael Chavis certainly is on the bubble because they brought in guys as part of the major league roster, and even more recently on the minor league side, with Danny Santana, they brought in established, versatile players. That's obviously the buzzword of this offseason and this spring in terms of position players. They value versatility and utility, and they have that in Kike Hernandez and Marwin Gonzalez, but that makes it tough for Chavis to make the team because they've talked about starting the year with 14 pitchers out of the 26 roster spots. Well, you do the math, that gives you 12 position players, and that translates to a three-man bench. One of those is always your number two catcher, usually Plawecki, and a second would be Gonzalez, who, unlike Hernandez, I don't think is considered kind of an everyday guy the way that Kike is. He'll play second base most times when he's not playing in the outfield occasionally. So that brings it down to one guy for that final spot on the bench, and you're talking about, a bunch of guys in that mix. Christian Arroyo is one, and that was even before the whole Franchi Cordero thing took place, which kind of took him out of the equation. He may not be ready to start, so maybe that gives Chavis a brief opening to break with the team. But the fact that he has options, that they can stash him at Worcester and have him in case there's an injury or a performance issue at the major league side, makes it likely that he's probably a guy that is not going to start the year with the team. So he's definitely on the bubble. And then you could probably throw three or four relievers into that mix too. You start with, you know you're going to have Barnes, Ottavino, Sawagura, and the lefties, Hernandez and Taylor. Now you're up to, six. So you're going to have two or three spots. Andres is on the team. Ryan Brazier's availability is somewhat questionable, given that he got hung up with some things back home after the storms in Texas. So, two or three bullpen jobs and maybe a guy off the bench. And those are your on-the-bubble situations right now.
You think Matt Barnes is the closer going into the season at least?
Something tells me that it's going to be Ottavino. I don't know why I get that feeling. It's pretty clear it's down. It's down to those two. Cora has said as much. Each of whom has done it a little bit. That is closing at the major league level, but not with any great success or any sustained period. Either way, it's going to be something of a gamble to give the job to either one of those. And, they've kind of ruled out Sawamura. I think he's got enough to transition over here without adding the responsibility of the ninth inning to him. So I would say Sawamura is probably not in the mix. So it's down to Ottavino and Barnes. I think Ottavino is a guy who's been in a lot of big spots, both in Colorado and with the Yankees the last couple of years. They think he can probably handle that, whereas Barnes has struggled at times in the ninth.
We know what Bobby Dalbec can do offensively. When he makes contact, the ball goes a long way. But if he's the starting first baseman, how is he defensively? What does that do to their infield defense?
I think he'll be okay over at first. I mean, he's got pretty good actions. He was a pretty athletic third baseman. I think his strength was his throwing arm at that position. But for a guy his size, and he kind of has that, Troy Glaus kind of physique, a really big guy at third base, but it can be done if you're athletic enough. And now moving over to first, in a lot of ways, it's more, playing at first is you've got to be able to dig the ball out most of the time. But other than that, it's kind of a reaction position in the way that third base can be. And it's just a matter of transferring those skills over to the other side. I think his footwork probably is the thing that a lot of people moving to first base have the most difficulty with. But I think he'll at least be adequate there. I don't think that's going to be an issue. And even though Hernandez has been sloppy a little bit with three errors so far, I think he's an upgrade defensively at second base. So, you're going to have not a lot of range at short with Bogarts, and you've got to get Devers to be much better defensively than he was last year.
Sean, we've talked with you before about Jaron Duren. He's playing pretty well here in these early spring training games. Is there any issue with service time for him? When do you think he might make his first appearance in Fenway?
Yeah, I don't think it makes much sense for him to break with the team. I mean, this is a guy who, as high as they are on him, has really only played about half a season at Double A, and for the first month, that wasn't very good in Portland. So, yeah, he's grown a lot. He's played in the Arizona Fall League. He's played winter ball. He's played in the Caribbean World Series, and he's not looked out of place at times playing in spring training games, but he still needs to, I think, get a little better with his roots in center field and get more have his instincts really kick in more at that position. He's a converted guy from second base, just the way Mookie Betts was, 7 or 8 years ago. And it takes a little time to get comfortable out there. And I think, is service time an issue? I think it would be more of one if there was a sense that he was really close and could, you know, should be the opening day center fielder. I don't think you can say that yet, but I wouldn't certainly rule out his presence on the major league roster in the second half of the season.
Texas Rangers announced today that they will be open for full capacity on opening day because, well, it's Texas. But what about Fenway? What's the latest on fans there this season?
Yeah, I think we're still waiting to get some details. You know, even though it is only, 3 weeks from tomorrow, so opening day is coming up fast, and the fact that sort of unusual, not unprecedented, but unusual, the Red Sox are opening at home. Normally they don't. About 80% of the time they open on the road for obvious reasons. The weather in the Northeast in April can be problematic. But they've got to get details done there. They're talking about having a percentage of the building or of the ballpark be able to come in. You're talking about a few thousand people, but even that would certainly be an upgrade over the empty ballpark we saw for all of last year. But we're still waiting, I think, for some additional details from the governor of Massachusetts and local officials as to exactly how this is going to look.
Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal, joining us here on Downtown this afternoon. Hey, Sean, great to catch up with you as always. We appreciate it and look forward to talking with you again before too long.
Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.